Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Yeah, every once in a while, somebody's like, you know, why you do the talk about money and finance stuff on a regular basis on the show, Steve? I mean, why do you do that? I mean, it's Christian radio. We're supposed to be talking about other stuff. And listen, this radio show is all over the map. People will say, hey, Steve, what's your show about? I'm like, everything. Well, where should you be applying to your Christianity, a Christian worldview? Where should we be applying that? Everywhere. Right. Exactly. Okay. So that's why we're all over the map when it comes to topic selection and one of those things, because if you have a problem with me doing some financial information with our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital on a regular basis, then, you know, forget me. Take it up with Jesus. All right. Because he talked about it a lot. Talked about money a lot. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses directly on prayer, less than 500 verses specifically on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. I think God knows, understands, and prescribes in his word a bunch of help when it comes to our hearts, our minds, and the issue of money and possessions and spending and covetousness and all that, because he knew for most of us it would be a significant issue, which is why it's always great to have our friend David Fisher on from Landmark Capital when we do Money Mondays. And we're getting a little late start to our first full Money Monday show of the year, but David's a little under the weather last week, and so we praise the Lord, David, that you're feeling better. Welcome back. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm doing much better. Thank you for asking, and all your prayers and all the listeners' prayers. I've definitely felt that, and it's great to be on your program today.
Amen, and it's great to have you back. Well, there's obviously a whole lot going on, and we're going to go down a bunch of different roads, the economy in general, up and down. It's like a good roller coaster. The stock market, government shutdown, China, the future and the coming recession, people talking about when's it going to hit, late 2019, is it going to be 2020? So we'll be doing all of that as we work through the show today. But, you know, and we've been doing radio. This is basically our third year together. And at the beginning of the year, you always kind of take all the research and all your wisdom and kind of look forward as much as possible, as much as the information gives you the ability to, and come up with some predictions about the markets and what's going to go on. And you've been spot on the last couple of years. So what are we looking at this year, David?
Well, I think we're going to see, Steve. Well, first of all, this year is very different compared to the other years as far as how clear the picture is. I feel like I'm looking through stain-colored glasses right now. It's kind of dim. But the Lord gives insight, and I'm studying, and hopefully I'll show myself approved. But it's a little bit different environment to predict this year. It's going to be similar to last year from the standpoint of a lot of volatility. You know, markets are often, Steve, like they behave like a spoiled child when they want something, and they want it then, and they are going to fight until they get what they want and make a lot of noise and turmoil and finally get they want, and then they calm down, you know, and that's kind of how the market was last year. A lot of roller coaster up and down. When we had bad news, it was really bad. The market didn't like it, and it fought and fought until some good news came out, and then they were all calm and all happy, and the market went up. So I think we're going to see that. I'm going to make the same prediction I did last year, where we're going to be up by the end of the year in stocks, single digits. I said that last year. We actually ended down. I was a little bit surprised on that. It was because there was a lot more uncertainty than I thought. And I think I'm going to have to put a disclaimer out there. There's going to be more uncertainty this year, unfortunately, than last year. And we possibly could be moving towards a small recession towards the end of this year, but a fairly big one in 2020. So I'm going to say single digits up in indexes and stocks, and I think gold's going to do about the same, unless we have some strange information that comes out either through the Fed or China. But we're showing some signs of slowing in the economy. The GDP is going to probably move down to around 2.4%. It was around 3% last year. And we're seeing a lot of companies cut. Apple cut guidance, Macy cut profit guidance, Barnes & Noble cut, FedEx cut, American Airlines cut, Delta cut. So a lot of the big-name companies are cutting their outlook, and so I don't think stocks are going to perform so well unless we have some wild cards out there to help that go on.
Well, obviously, uncertainty is the name of the game, and there's so much of that as we look at just the things we're going to talk about today, whether it's the stock market, the economy in general. Of course, the government shutdown's in record territory now, and that has an effect on the economy. It's a little more obscure and short-lived, but that's out there. And, of course, China, which Trump's always saying how negotiations with China are going great, yada, yada, yada. But that's just, for me, that's just Trump being Trump. The market ended up down today about 86 points, and so that's been pretty crazy over and over and over again. But what do you think are the biggest uncertainties this year that will affect the market and then ultimately, of course, affect our savings and our retirement accounts?
Well, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of what I've been saying before, and you mentioned some of them. I think China is still a big wild card. I don't think, you know, we'll go in depth more about this, but I think what's going on with China and our president, I don't think that's going to be settled here real soon. I think that the Fed is probably the biggest influence of all of this. The Fed has been like a fish out of water. It's been flopping one way and flopping another way. Normally the Fed doesn't do that, but they've been doing that, and we'll talk more in depth about that. Also, you know, we're seeing some signs from other stock entities like Morgan Stanley. They're reporting, all the strategists are talking about what we call corporate earnings being down this year. And, you know, that's the driving factor towards the economy and the market. If you don't have corporate earnings, you're going to typically mirror, the market is going to mirror what earnings have. And if earnings are down, the market's going to track tick for tot. The earnings, and we're going to see a downward market. So there's a lot of dichotomy going on this year that I didn't see so much as of last year, that the mainstream media in the form of Wall Street is saying we could have some downturn. And in fact, Morgan Stanley is actually saying we need to embrace a recession. So they're going a lot farther than most. Yeah, they're saying we're going to test the lows of the Dow at 21,792, which is about 9.8% up or down from where we're at right now. So I think there's more pressure to the downside than the upside.
Well, I listen to a lot of different talk radio shows and monitor a lot of stuff this morning. I was listening to Glenn Beck for a little while, and he's talking about he's taken 75 cents out of every dollar he's got out of the market. And then, of course, after that, he rolls into a gold advertisement. So I'm like, okay, Glenn, I don't know about that platform. But we're talking to David Fisher with Landmark Capital right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is a Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And the last segment of the show, we've got a pretty cool thing David wants to do, which is quite generous that we're going to do. He's going to do kind of a coin giveaway that's going to take a number of weeks, and people can qualify just by calling in and we get your name and your email address. We'll tell you about that towards the end of the show, and then we'll start that officially next week. And then it's really really an awesome giveaway, and I'll let David talk about that later in the show. But we're doing a full Money Monday today. Usually we do that the first Monday of the month, but that just didn't work out here in January. We'll get back on that schedule, God willing, in February. But because the scripture talks a lot about money, it's a big issue. I don't hear it discussed very even-handedly almost anywhere on talk shows, talk media. And I don't hear it discussed a whole lot in Christian media. But the Bible talks about it a lot, and it's a big issue for all of us, whether you have a little or a lot or a medium amount, whether you have a ton of money in the market or not much at all. All of us are most of us anyway, are struggling in one way or another, and we have to be careful with these dollars that we have, that we've been given, that we're stewards over. And so it's important to talk about a lot of different issues to get a more full understanding of it so that we can be better stewards. That's really behind it all as we're talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website, as always, by the way, is landmarkgold.com. Landmarkgold.com. And so, David, we were kind of teeing up all these different uncertainties out there. And you mentioned the government shutdown. I guess we'll start there. What do you think is going to happen with that? We're in record territory right now. I don't see it stopping unless Trump decides to pull, kind of make up this. I don't think it's an emergency down in the, I mean, it's been an emergency down there for 20 years, but I don't know what he's going to do with that. I think there's a good chance he'll declare an emergency and try to use the military to build some obstructions down there. But what about that as, in terms of its effect on the market, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's a factor of that's the unknown that brings builds a breed, excuse me, uncertainty. And when you have uncertainty, then the markets can't go a certain direction. They falter. And, you know, I was on another regular Christian talk show host, has me out of New York, the largest station there. And I was asked this question 3 days into the shutdown. And my response was, I said, I could see this being the longest shutdown in history. Where I see it now, and obviously I was right, I could see this go as long as it's already gone. So I don't think in the next week or two we're going to have some sort of consortium or an agreement. I think we're the furthest we've ever been apart, and I think it's going further apart, and I think the trenches are getting dug deeper, which is going to set us up for the unfortunate that leads us into something that's even more significant on whether we're going to have a wall or not, and that's where our country might be downgraded on our creditworthiness. There's a credit rating agency that rates governments called Fitch, another one called the S&P, Standard & Poor's, which is not the Standard & Poor's 500, but a company that rates countries on their ability to pay their bills. And in 2012, we got a downgrade for the second time in history in our country because the Democrats and Republicans were fighting over raising the debt ceiling, a balanced budget, and we're around $14 trillion at the time. We're 22 right now, approaching it. And they're going to fight again on if they don't come to some sort of agreement by March 2nd. So that may seem a long ways away, but we're a long ways away from coming to an agreement. And Fitch says this, that this showdown battle of a shutdown could negatively impact the negotiations over the debt ceiling, which could prompt us to join the S&P in eliminating the AAA rating for the United States. So they would downgrade it to AA plus, which what does that mean to us, okay? What this means is we don't pay our bills as a country. There's uncertainty, and investors might not want to hold the dollar as much, and you get too many of these, and that's when your currency slides down. When this happened in 2012, Steve, the 4 months after this, gold and silver ran over 30% really quickly. So am I expecting that? Well, I hope it doesn't do that. Actually, I'd rather have a 5% movement consistently than in a short period of time, a big run-up. But if we don't get our financial house in order, the world is looking at that, and they're going to downgrade us, unfortunately. So I think that's part of the problem. We're not going to come to agreement in the short term. I wish we would, but I just don't see it happening, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's where we have to pay attention because there's a slowdown internationally, which, of course, affects us and what happens. And that's something that most people wouldn't even pay attention to that. But all of a sudden, it will have a huge impact on the market. And then what happens in the market affects all of us. So I think oftentimes we're like, what's that? I don't really understand it. We kind of move on. But, yeah, I didn't even know that was something that could occur. Is the longer we stay shut down, the more risk there is that we get downgraded, even if it's just one notch. That's still a big deal and is a big deal in the international markets and reflects poorly on America and the American market, which, of course, then hits all of us.
Yeah, and you know, you have to understand how our country has really not been working for quite some time. Under around the Obama administration, we went into this thing called CRs, Continuing Resolution. And Congress is supposed to do one thing, pass a budget. That's really what their function is. That's what
they're
paying for.
Yeah.
And so there's 12 appropriation bills that historically, by the government standards, the Congress has set out that said it needs to be signed April 30th before the following year. So in other words, we were supposed to have these 12 appropriations bills signed last April 30th. We've only had 5 signed so far. So this creates a problem. That's why there's this negotiation. That's why we have a partial shutdown, because some of the government has not been allocated funding,
right.
And that's what appropriations bill is. Just to explain, you know, the common sense in this, it's like if you're going to allocate money for a car and allocate money for a house and allocate money for food and allocate money for the bills of your, you know, your electricity and your water and your sewer, and you don't allocate money towards that one thing, you're going to have some problems. And so we've only allocated money towards a few things in the government, and that's why they're shut down. So as time goes on, the government's going to run out of more money, and more things are going to run out of money, and that's where we're going to have bigger shutdowns, not less. So this is really big, and Congress is not functioning properly what we paid them and voted for them to do, and this is just becoming a bigger mess. Every time we have a new elected change of Congress and a new change in the presidency from either Democrat to Republican or vice versa.
Yeah, and they've been having this. I was just looking this up. They've been having this problem literally for four decades dealing with this and then kind of doing continuing resolutions and not getting anything passed on time. I mean, we shoot ourselves in the foot over and over again. But what do you expect from a government as big as ours is and what a behemoth? And then with the divisions we have now between right and left, it's only getting worse all the time. So that's the government shutdown. What about you mentioned the debt ceiling. Is that going to be another issue this year? And then I want to move on to China.
It will be an issue because in previous years, when the debt was $10 trillion or $5 trillion, and it wasn't too far off 10 years ago, it was under $10 trillion. And the government wasn't borrowing $1 trillion a year. You know, the government has now reached borrowing $1 trillion a year just to stay afloat. We went up 84% this year from last year. The government... the Treasury is going to issue more treasuries, I would think, in 2019, more than they did in 2018. And 2018 was a banner year. It was three times more, $1.3 trillion compared to $558 billion. So, I mean, it's crazy. Those things are fine back then, but now it's going to become an issue managing the debt.
Yeah, exactly right. We're going to talk about China when we come back. A couple other things. We'll talk about the Fed, and then we'll talk about the Federal Reserve, and we'll talk about the really cool coin giveaway David's going to do. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. If you want to grab a podcast of the shows in the past, really for the last couple of years, they're all there. You can go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it... a bunch of different, just your regular podcasts. So it's on most podcasts. We have to get it added to Spotify. I think there's a couple other places we need to get it added to. But it's on iTunes, and you can grab that information at thestevenobleshow.com. You can listen to the show there, live streaming, if you happen to get a tape delay and you want to join us live. You can also join us on the Facebook page. So just on your Facebook feed, just your search box, which you might be looking at right now, just put in Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E. And you'll get there, and you'll jump over to the Facebook page, like the page, and then you can join us right here in the studio Monday through Friday. Just about every time I'm on the air, we're doing Facebook Live. Sometimes we can't do that here and there when I'm on the road, but normally we do. So you'd be right here in the studio with me as we do the show, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. But like I said, not everybody, we're on in 14 states now, not everybody that hears the show hears it live. But if you want to be live with us, 4 to 5 p.m., you can always do that on Facebook Live. The Steve Noble Show on Facebook, thestevenobleshow.com. One other reminder, the Daily Dose devotional that I've been writing for years, we're a little bit more than halfway through the book of Proverbs. We're in chapter 19 right now. I've written like 116 of those since we started Proverbs way back at the end of last summer. Probably got another couple months before we finish it up. But that comes out Monday through Friday in the morning. And it's really short and pithy, very much like it'll sound when you read it, you'll be like, you can basically hear me speaking because I write like I speak. And so the Daily Dose devotionals are very straightforward, pretty hard hitting. And usually the more uncomfortable they are, the more they apply to me. So you'll be like, well, I guess Steve's beating himself up on this one. Whatever. You'll get that. If you want to get on that list, it's easy. Just use your phone. Text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. That's all you do. You'll get a quick reply. Put in your email. Boom, you're on the list. So text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866, and you can jump on the Daily Dose devotional, which you'll get Monday through Friday. In the morning today, talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is always landmarkgold.com for all kinds of great information and education, which is why we have David on the show on a regular basis to help us work through these difficult subjects and what's going on, not only here in America, but around the world that can affect our bottom dollar and our investments and our retirement, which for most of us on Christian radio are, you know, we're north of 45. And so these are big issues that we need to be educated about and paying attention to. So it's always so great, David, to have you on. And thank you for bringing your wisdom here every Monday. We certainly appreciate you.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Steve. I love being on your program.
Amen. And that that is very mutual. And David and I, by the way, I have a friendship outside of this show. We're brothers in Christ. David was a youth pastor, has been walking with the Lord for years. So we talk regularly and pray from time to time. And so we have an eternal friendship besides just a relationship here on the air. But I certainly appreciate you in all those different realms. Well, China, or Gina, however Donald Trump would like to pronounce it, is a big deal. And he said it just over the weekend. Hey, we're making great progress with China. We're really going to work out a great deal. Do you think that's going to happen, David? And what could happen to all of us as a result of all this negotiation and the trade war tariff stuff going on with China?
Well, I think they're talking. I don't question that. I think they're negotiating on things. I don't question that. But I think they're very far away from the deal. If the deal is defined of China stops stealing our technology through technology transfers and creating a level playing field and having no trade deficit with China, that is a very, from an economic standpoint, there's not an economist out there that says this is even a realistic goal to have. So I don't think they're going to hit that goal. And I think the bigger concern is, and I'm not throwing stones at President Trump, as like you said, we're the umpire. Doesn't matter who's at bat. We're going to call a strike, and a ball, a ball.
Amen.
And that's just the factual part of this. And that's what makes us to be good stewards of information, too. But I think the bigger thing that's going on with China is they have a big economy. We're the number one economy. They're the number two economy. Our economy is around $19 trillion last year. Theirs is around $12 trillion. So they're not much far behind us. But if China catches the cold, the world's going to get sick. Just like when the American economy goes down, it affected the whole world, like in 2008. And China's manufacturing, its major indicator, just recently signaled in December a major contraction is underway. Now, over the last 30 years, China has what I call overstated their numbers in growth, and they're embellishing it, in other words. I don't think they're going to embellish a downturn side. I think they're going to, you know, minimize that. So it could be worse than what they're actually letting us know. But the Central Bank of China recently admitted that they added $50 trillion, that number, $50 trillion of new financial assets in the financial system in just the last 4 years. Our Federal Reserve added $5 trillion. Yeah. They've added $50 trillion in the last 4 years. And they, for every dollar they put in, every $25 they put in there as a financial asset, they only created a dollar of growth out of it. So if you put this into perspective, this would be like the subprime mortgage loans that were created in the, before the downturn in 2008. There was about $1 trillion of that created. This is equivalent to them creating $56 trillion bad paper. So this is all going to come home to rest. They got to service it. And when this affects China, it's going to affect us because we live in a global society. So we're watching corporate debt. We're watching sovereign debt, which is banking federal or central bank debt, and China is ballooning it even worse than the Fed, and the Fed's now done ballooning it. But this is going to turn into a problem around 2020. So that's what I'm watching. Unfortunately, I think it's going to cause some economic downturn, and it's going to cause some upturn in metals because that's what happens when we have this type of uncertainty.
Yeah, one end of the teeter-totter goes down with the stock market and regular investments, and the other end goes up with precious metals, which is a hedge against that. And, of course, when we talk about that, when you mention those kind of numbers, David, that's when I kind of step back from the financial table a little bit. I put on a hat that I don't wear all that often, which is an eschatological hat, an end times hat, and I go, and this is my simple street level language. I sit there and go, boy, this is all setting up nicely, isn't it?
For the whole thing
to collapse. One world government, one world currency. The Antichrist shows up. He's like, this whole thing's a mess. I can take care of it. And we're like, oh yeah, just like Obama. So I'm down for that. And you can see the whole world just kind of falling into line with this. It's just insane.
They're actually talking about now creating a one-world currency with partial backing by gold.
No, what a shock.
Maybe I don't have time to do it today, but maybe another Monday when we have our hour-long program, I'll let out the cat out of the bag on some of the things that have been set up on the central bank levels. But yeah, you're exactly right. They're preparing. Central banks are preparing for some financial catastrophe.
Sure.
around the monetary system, and they're actually embracing a partial gold-backed currency that could be global.
Well, you got desperate times call for desperate measures, and that's where we tend to centralize, and we cede all kinds of sovereignty and freedom and liberty for some perception of security, and it's just a big farce, ultimately. Yeah, I mean, sadly, the whole world system, economically, banking system, investments, a lot, to me, it looks like a big card game, a big shell game. But ultimately, as a follower of Christ, we live in the here and the now. We try to be responsible, and we be good stewards, and we want to be generous, and we want to do kingdom things with the resources that we have. But ultimately, it'll all fade away, and the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, and it'll all be a distant memory, and we'll all be fine. So, but that's only true for you if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's the ultimate piece of information that trumps everything that we ever talk about on this show, is the eternal destination of your soul. So we always want to remember that. And we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And David, you help us, especially with the sound mind part here on Money Monday. So with the coming recession, most people now are saying late 2019, 2020. Is this pretty? It seems like this is a done deal. It's just a matter of when the deal lands here.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of if anymore. It's more like when. And there's enough information out there amongst billionaires and other entities that are saying, pretty much everybody's saying the same thing. This is very unusual that they're finally talking about this at this level, because in 2008 they were saying, no problem, everything's going to be fine, you know, before the major 2008 and 2005, 6, and 7. You know, and, pride cometh before the fall, and when we don't embrace the arrogancy of leveraged money, and that's all money is. When you leverage your money, you're saying, I can handle this, I'm prideful, and that's what comes back to haunt us. That's why you got to be careful who you owe and what you owe, and it has to be managed. And during economic booming times, you should be paying down your debt. Unfortunately, we've had a boom economically in our country, and we've been ballooning our debt, not paying it down. So there's going to come the day of reckoning, unfortunately, and I think it's not going to be severe this year. I think we're going to have a minor blip, and people are going to say that was it, but it's going to be a head fake, and I think we're going to see the big one in 2020.
Yeah, and we have to be prepared about that, and that's what we talk to David about regularly. And more information, by the way, in education is available at David's company. Is at their website. LandmarkGold.com is their website to get additional information. LandmarkGold.com, and their phone number is 844-879-8882 if you'd like to get some education under your belt, and hopefully you will. 844-879-8882. When we come back, David, let's talk about, you mentioned the Fed. I want to talk about that, and that has something to do with this really cool giveaway we're going to do for several weeks on the show. So we'll come back. We'll do a little education about the Federal Reserve. Certainly no Donald Trump is no fan. We shouldn't be a big fan either. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Steve Noble Show.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, doing a little Money Monday action with my good friend David Fisher at Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website. LandmarkGold.com, as always. Great information, great education there, and a great partner on the show. We really appreciate David and his staff and the team there at Landmark Capital. So, David, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely, my friend.
Well, oftentimes, you know, we kind of, just about every Monday, we mention the Fed. And if anybody listens to financial programming, radio, podcast, TV, cable, whatever, you'll hear the Fed. And it's just kind of a normal part of our economic vocabulary here in America. But I want to do, and you're going to help us understand this, a little bit of history of the Fed and going back to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 and then 1933, the year the Federal Reserve was created, and its impact on all of us and the U.S. economy and, in fact, things around the world. But that also going to feed into something that's really cool that David wanted to do on the show for you guys, for our family of faith here on the Steve Noble Show and on the airwaves and on Facebook Live as well. So how do you want to unpack that? Because I know we're going to talk about this really cool coin, which has a really interesting history itself. But how do you want to start this, David? This is really fascinating.
Well, let's talk about the Fed a little bit, and I want to talk about what happened recently with the Fed, and then we'll go back to the coin here.
Okay.
So the Fed was created in 1913 because our government found that they couldn't handle the banking system side. And actually a few years earlier in 2007, I believe the year was, J.P. Morgan actually bailed out the government through a bank, a major bank loan. So that's what kind of started this whole idea of maybe we should have bankers run the monetary system, which actually breaks our Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, that only Congress has the right to coin money. So, but we gave up that right, and it's a very controversial way some people think about how the Fed was created and the purpose of, but it was created originally for a dual mandate, in other words, two purposes, to maximize employment and to keep inflation low. Well, obviously, when you look at the Fed today, Steve, it does way more than that.
Yeah.
It influences the markets. I mean, look what it did with the quantitative easing. All that $4 plus trillion, almost $5 trillion they created out of thin air in a few years that they injected into the banking system that influenced the market. That had nothing to do with employment. That had nothing to do with interest rates, although they lowered interest rates and they tried to stir employment, people hiring. That injected into the markets and never went to the place where it was intended to be. And now they're doing just the opposite. They're pulling away the punch bowl. And recently we've had three Fed chairmen, Powell, Yellen, and Bernanke, on the same stage in Atlanta at the American Economic Association here a couple weeks ago. And Powell was asked that he doesn't... If the balance sheet was the problem with all this market gyrations, and I said at the beginning of last year that you watch the Fed, when they unravel the balance sheet, sell treasuries, you're going to see market volatility. Mr. Powell answered and says he doesn't see the balance sheet as a problem that with the market, and it is made something out of something that is not made out to be that. So in other words, he's saying it's not really doing anything in reference to the market volatility. Well, others are commenting and saying it is a direct correlation to the volatility. And so what has been happening here recently is the Fed has been kind of flip-flopping. In December, they said, we're going to do the autopilot, which means they're just going to let the program continue to do it month after month, sell treasuries, and also every so often raise rates till they get to the normalized rate, which is around 3-3.5%. Well, just this month, they said they might pause and revisit that. And now Janet Yellen came out today and said that they might not raise rates at all. Even though she doesn't work for the Fed, her words carry a lot of,
yeah, of course,
weight. And, you know, ironically, when they get out of the Fed, they talk a little bit more different than when they were in the Fed.
Yeah.
So the Fed is kind of, we're going to see the Fed really dictate what's going to happen in the economy and the market this year and next year. And I don't think they have a way out of this without causing market turmoil. And they even admitted themselves that we're headed towards a recession. So they even agree towards that.
Yeah, well, I mean, going all the way back to 1913 and the original Federal Reserve Act and when they're saying, the purpose is to mandate the maximize employment and keep inflation low, right from the get-go, that's the government getting in and monkeying with the system, and really for political reasons, to try to keep the people somewhat stable, because that helps you when maintaining power in elections. And that's all the reality behind this, is you sit there and go, well, they're just trying to help people. Yeah. You could try to make that case, but there's also a political side to all of this, always.
You're exactly right. And the Fed has kind of backed themselves in the corner. They were asked, Bernanke was asked, so with Powell and even Yellen, they all agreed that the Fed does not have enough emergency tools at hand. They call them macro-prudential tools, is the terminology, to handle the next recession. And even Timothy Geithner and a group that he represents has been saying, it's called the Group of 30, which is, they've been interviewed by Bloomberg News here recently, and saying that the Fed does not have the tools to help avoid a major downturn, a recession like last time we had in 2008. So that's why it's imperative to counterbalance what the Fed is doing, and that's where gold comes into this.
Yeah, and because... Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. You sent me some information ahead of time, but, you know, the power to adjust the discount rate or the federal funds rate, buy and sell U.S. treasuries, and then, of course, quantitative easing and printing money to try to expand credit and lower interest rates. It's just all kinds of literally, I would call it government and activity in order to manipulate certain factors in the market and the economy. It's very, very scary. I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, you're exactly right. Thank you for chiming in. So with that, We have always believed, be your own banker. How do you do that? How do you can take control of your finances? Because you, each individual, God has called us to be stewards of the funds the Lord has entrusted us with, and we can do a better job than anyone else. That, otherwise, handing over money to someone else and just ignoring it is could possibly be, not always, could be a financial recipe for disaster right now if we just buy and hold in this environment, unless you're hedged properly and you have a very good, and I know, Steve, you have a very good financial planner, and I'm not saying anything bad about him. He's very good, and I we've talked about that, and I think you're properly protected, plus you also have some gold. So in lieu of all this, we want to help people understand gold. So we're going to have a contest to give away a free gold coin. It's minted the year of the Federal Reserve in 1913. It's a Saigon coin. And they normally mint per year a million coins. This year they only minted 168,780 coins. And there's around 2,200 coins known to be in existence in this grade, a 62 grade. Compared to a common date coin, there's around 100,000 known to be in existence in that grade. There's a third-party price guide says the coin is worth $1,825. We're conservatively pricing it at $1,600 or thereabouts. And we're going to have a coin contest. So they're going to call. You have a number they can call, Steve, and you're going to gather their name, their phone number, and an email so we can reach out to them, because everybody's going to get what you call a survival packet. It's a free investment packet, learning how to diversify, because I believe everybody should have knowledge, because people perish for lack of knowledge and wisdom.
That's right. Amen.
But in April, I think it's April 15th or something around that, we're going to announce the winner. The winner's going to get the free gold coin, a free book on investing in metals, a free book on the Fed, and a free consultation with me, going over how to diversify your portfolio. Maybe they're already properly diversified. They don't need to do anything. But that's a free consultation, and we're here to help people, and that's we believe great. In education. And so we thought, let's have a free contest based around the number one influence, the Fed. And when the Fed's around, they're going to need to have gold.
That's right. That's just the reality of it all. And the really thing that's interesting when I first started learning about this and gold coins and precious metals and stuff, it's like 3 years ago when David started to help me understand all this stuff, is the history behind it, because I didn't really think about that before. Because we think about coins and it's not really, we think dimes, quarters, nickels, whatever. You see a dollar coin these days and you're like, whoa, that's out of the ordinary, or $2 coins, things like that. But this is a part of American history. That's what's so fascinating to me about these things. When you talk about it, you know, a $20 St. Gaudens gold coin, and it's in the go, well, a $20 coin. That's the interesting thing. I think like 3 years ago, you told me about a $20 coin back then would buy you a nice suit, and $20 today wouldn't even buy you a decent tie.
Exactly. So gold has held its value while paper money has devalued, because you can't make any more gold, but they've devalued paper money through printing and inflation.
Yeah, it's just remarkable, and that's a, to me, it's not just, you know, there's regular investments, which most of us know about and are involved in a little bit, but when it comes to coins like this, it's always been fascinating to me that there's history behind it, American history at that, which is super fascinating. So we'll start that next week, when we'll just give out, we'll just take names and email addresses and stuff, and we'll do it literally every Monday until we get to that Monday in April, which I do think is Monday, April 15th, and we'll do a drawing, and so a free coin giveaway here on the show, which is really awesome and very generous of you. Again, that's a $20 St. Gaudens gold coin, which valued conservatively at about $1,600. So that's very generous of you, David.
Thank you very much, Steve, for allowing me to do that. Do you have? Is there a phone number that you have that they're going to call you? Is that how we're going to do this?
Yeah, we're gonna use our regular phone number. And if I don't want to, we'll flood my producer right now, right at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't want to do, because he's going to try to get home in like 5 minutes. So I'm not going to do that to him. That'd be a really bad witness and just rude on my part. So we'll start it next week, and we'll use the regular show number, but we'll start taking names and information next week. David Fisher, as always, so great to be with you. Great information, including like the new white paper there, Time Is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate. We talked about that. All kinds of great education and information. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always. Or if they want to do it the old-fashioned way, David, how do they get a hold of you?
They can call us at 844-879-8882.
All right. Thanks, brother. I always appreciate you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
God bless.
God bless. Talk to you soon. Okay, friends, there you go. I really appreciate David and his help. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And as my dad always said, ever forward.